We're very happy to have Eric Hoban to be anonymous, give us a talk on creation science. We're very excited to have him. So I'm going to turn the time over to Eric.
Awesome. All right, good morning, guys. How you doing? My name is Eric Hoban, has been for 29 years, and I get to travel around and talk to you guys about creation versus evolution and the dinosaurs. Where do the dinosaurs fit into the picture of the whole creation evolution subject? I got a couple of my dinosaurs here with me. Got a whole bunch more of them down at Dinosaur Adventureland, if you ever want to go to Dinosaur Adventureland and check it out. You guys are more than welcome to play with my dinosaurs, but be careful. This one will bite.
Roar!
So, be really careful of this one right here. Other than that, they're all pretty nice guys, okay? You can enjoy them. Hey, how many of you guys were here last night? How many of you were not? Should have been. Okay, I see those hands. And anybody not understand these questions? All right, a couple of you. Let's say he's pointing. Oh, man. Well, it is great to be here in California. I love California weather. I am from Pensacola, Florida, and I love Florida weather, too, but it gets a little bit humid, and we get these little things that buzz around and put their nose inside of you and suck your blood out called mosquitoes. But other than that, hey, I love Florida, but I really like California. Don't necessarily like your price of gas. Don't necessarily like your government out here. But other than that, I like California. A lot of good people out here. Well, last night, I want to review real quick what we covered, and then we'll move on and start talking about a lot of cool stuff we've got to talk about this morning. Last night, we discussed the whole creation evolution topic in a nutshell. We said, according to creation, about how long ago did God make the world, according to creation? Let's try that again. About how long ago did God make the world, according to creation? About 6,000 years ago. Then something happened 4,400 years ago. What took place 4,400 years ago that did something to the earth here? The flood, exactly right, of Noah's day. And then after they got off the ark, you know, they had lots of children. And 2,000 years ago, a guy lived and died here that was really famous, and a lot of us still serve him today, and that's absolutely amazing. What was his name? Jesus. And now here we are today in the year. You guys are good. 2008, waiting for God to come back. All right. Hey, just so you know, I want to give a couple announcements, and then we'll kind of kick off the morning session. How many of you got to go last night to see the movie Expelled? And anybody? Oh, you saw it. Man, lucky guys. And what'd you think? It's awesome, isn't it? Great movie. We got to send three of our staff about 2 months ago down to screen the film. Really, really good film. I have got three more tickets that I would like to give away. Anybody want them? Okay. The way you get these is by signing up for our Creation and Common Sense. We have a newsletter that goes out called Creation and Common Sense. It goes out twice a month. If you have not signed up for that, you can sign up for that right here. We're going to put those in this handy little box right here, and we are going to draw your name. Actually, we'll draw it now. We might have to start over, won't we, because not as many people here, so we'll start over. We'll put those in the bad pile, and we'll start over with some fresh ones. So if you did not get one of these to fill out, please get one of these, and you guys, I got some great ushers helping me out here. They will pass those out. Raise your hands if you didn't get one. You can fill those out. And if you did fill one out last night, yours is over there, and it's probably not going to get drawn from. If you want to fill another one out just for the drawing, you can do that. And we'll put that in here, and at the end of this session, we're going to go till 12. At the end of this session, we will have a drawing and give away a couple free tickets to Expelled. Cool? Cool? You want to win? You want to go see it? You going to go with me tonight? Just in case you didn't know, tonight at 7:40 at Theater 8, what's the name of it? West Park 8. I'm going to go to West Park 8 Theater. I went there last night and bought my tickets. And I am going to the 7:40 showing of Expelled tonight. If you'd like to join me, I'd love to have you there. Tonight at 7:40, I get to go see, for the first time, Expelled the movie. So if you want to fill those out. Now, afterwards, when we're done, we're going to have a break here in just about 50 minutes. We're going to have a break, and that's when you'll come up and you'll put your slip right inside of here during the break, okay? And we'll have that drawing at the end of the second session. Cool. Then at the end of that, we're going to have another drawing at the end of this afternoon session, and we're going to give away some DVDs. So don't let me forget that, okay? Do not let me forget that. All right. Oh, it's going into standby mode. All right. We have got a lot of stuff to cover. A little bit more review on last night while you guys are filling those out, just to catch everybody that wasn't here up to speed with where we're at. We said, according to evolution, what happened 20 billion years ago? The Big Bang, exactly. We talked a little bit about the Big Bang last night. According to the Big Bang theory, everything got together into a dot. And how big was that dot? Smaller than a period on a page. That's exactly right. And then the dot started to spin. And then 20 billion years ago, the miracle happened. And what happened 20 billion years ago? That dot exploded, the Big Bang. Exactly right. Now, there's a law in science. Does anybody remember the name of the law in science that tells us if a spinning object breaks apart in a frictionless environment, all the pieces will spin in the same direction? What was that law? Conservation of angular momentum. That's exactly right. By the way, if you have a cell phone, go ahead and put that on vibrate for me so we don't get interrupted. I've got mine, and I will turn mine off. Maybe. There we go. Conservation of angular momentum says if a spinning object breaks apart in a frictionless environment, all the pieces are going to spin in the same direction. Well, what's the problem? Does anybody know of any problems out there in our universe that show, I don't think the Big Bang Theory happened? What's going on in our universe that shows that goes against that? That's exactly right. Some planets are spinning backwards. Not only that, 8 of the 91 moons in our solar system have a backwards orbit around their planet. The Big Bang is impossible. I met a scientist one day that said, well, maybe something struck the planet and reversed its spin. Well, planets are kind of big, aren't they? Don't you think anything that would hit it that hard, hard enough to reverse its spin, would leave a dent? Maybe? A little bitty smudge, something? It didn't, though. We don't see that. I mean, there's no way you can strike a planet to reverse its spin like that. I'm sorry, just did not happen. So Big Bang Theory is simply a big dud, and we went into that last night. We got to cover just a little bit of seminar number one called The Age of the Earth. Speaking of the age of the Earth, I say it's only about 6,000 years old. What evidence is there that the Earth is only about 6,000 years old? What's the best one out there that I talked about last night? Yes, the human population. Because we're at 6.5 billion right now. If you trace back the human population on and actually graph it out, what has happened, you'll see the entire world population started about 4,400 years ago. That's kind of interesting. What do we think happened 4,400 years ago? A flood destroyed the world. That's exactly right. So the human population fits perfectly with God's word and what he says happened. It's absolutely amazing. I only went through a couple of the probably 24 evidences from outer space, from our universe, and from planet Earth here of how the Earth can only be a few thousand years old, not millions or billions of years old. And like I said last night, for some people, that is a brand new revolutionary idea. I mean, to think that the Earth could only be a few thousand years old, they would laugh at. It's impossible, because they know, they've been taught the Earth is millions of years old. When the truth of the matter is, you've been deceived. You've been brainwashed into thinking that. And when you start going down that road, you will be off for the entire rest of your learning in that area, because it's not millions of years old. You're starting off heading the wrong direction. All right, we got to get started because we got a lot of stuff to cover. Today I'm going to be talking about seminar part number two, the Garden of Eden. Now, what I have to do, and I'm sorry I have to do this, I have got to take a three-hour seminar and put it down into 45 minutes. That's hard, so I'm about to start talking really fast. Okay? I scraped off my eye teeth this morning right here. That way I could see what I was saying. Otherwise, I'd get my tongue tangled up and get my Merzwicks. Hate it when that happens. So I am ready to go. We're going to be talking really, really fast and going through this. Actually, the truth is I had to take out a lot of the content that we normally go through for these next several sessions, and I'm sorry about that, but we just don't have that much time, okay? So without any further ado, let's get kicking. My dad produced a 17-hour seminar series. How many of you have seen all 17 hours of that seminar series? Yeah, Man, there's a lot of information in those, aren't there? A ton of information in that seminar series. And for the last 30 years of his life, that's what he's devoted himself to, is developing this seminar series. And we've got that available, really, really good information. Last night we did a little bit of part number one of that series. Right now, for the next 45 minutes, we're doing a little bit of part number two. Next hour, we're going to do a little bit of part number three. And then we're going to come back after lunch and do a little bit of part number four. And then the second session this afternoon will be a brand new message that I call God Quest, which is kind of my journey, my quest to discover God and exactly who He is. And I'd love to share with you some things that I found out about God that just totally revolutionized the way I look at life. And I want to share that with you this afternoon if my voice holds out and I can still talk. All right? I told you last night, I believe the Bible is our basic instructions before leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. It would be wise for us to read those instructions and obey them, do exactly what they say. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter chapter 3, we are supposed to be ready to give an answer for what we believe in. Many Christians cannot answer people when it comes to the creation evolution topic. They don't think the Bible has the answers. The truth of the matter is, and as you'll see, I hope today, God's Word does have the answers. It can stand on its own. You do not have to compromise God's Word with what modern scientists believe, okay? God's Word is right no matter what modern science wants to believe. And hopefully we'll show you that with a lot of science here this morning. I got three things I want to accomplish in this seminar series. Number one, I want to strengthen your faith in the Word of God. I want you to know God's Word is true. Number two, if you're here and you're not saved, I'm trying to get you saved. I'll tell you right now, I am after you. I want to see you turn your heart over to Jesus Christ, okay? Number three, if you're here and you are saved but you're not doing a whole lot for God, I want to make you uncomfortable. Or to put it positively, I want to motivate you to get busy and do something for God. There is a lot of people out there that are dying and on their way to hell. What are you doing about it? Are you doing anything about that? And I encourage you to get busy. So I want to motivate you to do something. Now, just a little warning, just about every single sin in the Bible is mentioned in our seminar series. So it's likely that your toes might get stepped on. We recommend either steel-toed shoes or a willingness to move your feet and get in line with God's Word. The choice is up to you, okay? We tell people all over, there is a war going on. If you're not going to shoot, at least carry bullets, but do something that's going to matter. Some of you think, well, you know, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit on the fence. Well, God and Satan had a conversation one day. They got all the people of the world together, and they said, all right, you got to choose right now either God or Satan. And everybody started dividing, but there was a bunch of people that sat right on the fence. Said, I'm not going to take either side. God said, all right, all you people that chose me, come this way. We're going to heaven. Satan said, all right, all you people that chose me, come on this way. We're going to hell. And then he looked back on the people sitting on the fence and said, hey, guys, come on. They said, no, we're not going anywhere. We're sitting on the fence. He said, yeah, I own the fence. Come on. A lot of people think they can just sit on the fence, and the reality is Satan owns the fence. Get busy. Do something that's going to matter in eternity. These are not my parents. It's just a picture of them. My dad began our ministry 19 years ago after teaching science for 15 years. He taught high school science for 15 years, then started our ministry right there in Pensacola, Florida, and spent a lot of hours traveling, and man, he was speaking over 900 times a year. That's amazing. I do not know how he did that. By the way, my dad says hi to everybody here. So hello from my dad. Got to talk to him a little while ago. So hello from my dad to everybody. He wants to say hey, all right? My mom, Jo, is a piano teacher there in Pensacola, Florida, and does a great job teaching piano. And is her, as a matter of fact, she just had her competition, all this competition stuff with piano. Anybody else ever take piano? Anybody play violin? That was me. I played violin. I'm a violin player, sorry. The piano, though, anyway, every single one of her students got either first or second in the statewide sonata contest in piano. So I was like, go, mama. I guess you're pretty good, huh? Maybe I should have taken, I don't know. But I got a lovely wife, Tanya. We've been married for 8.5 years now. Wow, time flies by. In that 8.5 years, we've been kind of productive. We've got 3 children, one of each. And so Stephanie, our oldest, is 5 years old. Angelina, here in 2 weeks, is going to turn 4 years old. And little Jordan is 15 months old, born January of last year. So really, really cool. I love the fact that I've got a cool family. They love me, they miss me, and they all say hi. Send me back soon. That's their message to you, okay? Just so you know. Now, here's the two basic worldviews in a nutshell that we talked about just a minute ago. Creationists believe that about 6,000 years ago, God created the heavens and the earth. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. Now, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came, and that says 2005, not 2008. Sorry about that. Typo. And here we are in the year 2008, waiting for God to come back. Now, what was the world like before the flood is what I'd like to talk to you about this morning. What was the world like before the flood? Hey, the Bible talks about people living to be over 900 years old. Is that really even possible? Hey, what about the dinosaurs? Did they live millions of years ago? What's going on with the dinosaurs? Have any people ever seen live dinosaurs? Hey, what was the original creation when God originally made the world? What was that like? Well, what did people eat before the flood? What is it going to be like in the 1,000-year reign of Christ when God comes and rules and reigns for 1,000 years? What is that going to be like? Hey, where did all the water come from to flood the entire world? Where did all that water go? Were there really giant people over 10 feet tall that lived here on planet Earth before the flood? Those are just a couple of the questions I'd like to try to answer right now. 2 Peter chapter 3 tells us, knowing this verse, there shall come in the last days scoffers. I don't know if you've ever met one of them, but they are here, okay? We deal with them on a regular basis. There's a lot of people that scoff at the Bible. They scoff at God's Word. And this is what the Bible says about the scoffers. It says, scoffers are going to walk after their own lusts. The reason people scoff at the Bible is not because of science. It's because of sin. If you really want the truth of the matter, it comes down to that. Say, I don't like the way you said that. Well, I'm sorry. Phrase it another way, but that's what it comes down to. People don't scoff at the Bible because of science. They scoff at it because of their lifestyle. They don't want there to be a God that they have to answer to one day. So they like this idea of evolution, which says there is no God and there are no absolutes. I love it when I hear that. There are no absolutes. I say, are you absolutely sure? Yeah. Well, then that's an absolute. So there are absolutes. Oh, think it through, people. Think it through. There are absolutes. Thus saith the Lord, there's an absolute for you, okay? Anyway, these scoffers, the Bible says, they're going to say, where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. Then it says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Now, willingly ignorant, that means dumb on purpose. They're dumb on purpose about a couple things. First of all, that by the word of God, the heavens were of old. And the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. What? What is that talking about? Earth standing out of the water and in the water? Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second. But what this is referring to is the creation. They're going to be willingly ignorant, dumb on purpose, of how God originally made the world. That's not the only thing they're willingly ignorant of. They're also willingly ignorant that whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. What do you think that's talking about? Anybody? The flood, yes. So how the flood destroyed the world, they're willingly ignorant of that. And they're willingly ignorant of the coming judgment of God. Yeah. They don't want to believe in a God that's going to judge them for the way they live here on earth. So we see the scoffers are ignorant of three things. The creation, because if there really is a creation, that means there is a creator. And if there really is a creator, he might be able to put some rules down on this life, like, thou shalt and thou shalt not. He does not like that idea. They're willingly ignorant of the flood because if there really was a worldwide flood, that means God has the right to judge His creation. And He does. This is His world. He can wreck it if He wants to. He can do whatever He wants. He's God. Okay? And they're willingly ignorant of the coming judgment of God because they don't want somebody telling them how to live their life down here on earth. They don't want somebody telling them what to wear, who to date, where to go, how to cut their hair. They do not like that. And so really, they are rebelling against their Creator, God, the scoffers are. So a bumper sticker that said, Jesus is coming soon, and boy, is He mad. A lot of people say, no, God is love. He's going to love us. Well, the Bible says He is storing up wrath for the day of wrath. He is that one day going to pour out His wrath on the earth. I'd love to go around saying, Jesus loves you, but the truth of the matter is, if you are not saved, you have got a lot of wrath built up that is going to be poured on you. I don't believe that. Stand in the middle of the road and don't believe in trucks. It's not going to help if you don't believe it. That's reality. The creator of the universe is going to judge this world. You had better act accordingly, okay? Now here we go. We've got to start in Genesis chapter 1. We've got to get to Revelation real fast here. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now I'm going to skip down to verse 5. I'm coming back to 2, 3, and 4 here in just a second. But let me skip down to verse 5 for a second. It says, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. Now this happens to be from the King James Version of the Bible, which is the one I happen to use. I use the King James. Not against the other versions. I'd rather you read those in Playboy or anything like that. But the King James Version of the Bible says, the first day. Some versions of the Bible have changed that. Now let me tell you exactly what's going on here. Some people, some scholars back in the late 1800s, tried to compromise God's Word with a brand new theory that had just come out called evolution in the 1800s. And they said, man, everybody's starting to believe in evolution. They're going to forget about the Bible. We better add evolution to the Bible. And really, the gap theory came about as a method of adding the millions of years that scientists believe the earth is to the scriptures, what God said. They should have left well enough alone. God's word does not need any help. No modern science will ever, ever, ever go against God's word. True science will never contradict God's word. They're going to be in harmony with one another. Well, evolution contradicts the Bible. I know. It's not part of true science. We talked about that last night. You have to get the DVD to check that out. But this gap theory, they said, in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2, there's a gap of billions of years. And I wish we had time to go into this a lot deeper. We don't. Seminar number 2 goes into this for about 35 to 40 minutes. We're only going to spend just about 10 minutes on this. I'm sorry. But they say in that gap filled with billions of years, that's where the geologic column formed. That's also where the Lucifer was fallen from heaven. That's also where a pre-Adamite race of man lived and died off in between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. It's called the gap theory. Well, there's some problems with the gap theory. Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 tells us, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. What does that word all include? Everything. He says he made it all in how many days? Would that include the millions of years in those 6 days? It can't include the millions of years in those 6 days. And he says he rested on the seventh day. Well, did he rest on the seventh day or did he rest on a seventh day? Because if there were millions of years between Genesis 1:1 or 1:2, or any amount of time between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, well, then he didn't rest on the seventh day. The Bible talks about the seventh day a lot of times in several other places. And on the seventh day, God ended his work. He rested on the seventh day. God blessed the seventh day. He's making a certain place of the seventh day. What day do you think he's talking about here? I'm going to go with the seventh one. Yeah. I think it really was the seventh day, just like he talks about in Genesis. So, a problem with the gap theory is that you can't have any amount of time between Genesis 1:1 and 1:2, and that still be the seventh day. Because it wouldn't be the seventh day any longer. Because in the beginning, now some people say, well, there weren't days before the sun. Yeah, there were. God says evening and morning were first day. There were days before the sun. You can have days before the sun. It's interesting. In the Hebrew, there's a couple different words for light. God originally made light, and then on day 4, he made the light source. We in English only have one word for the word light. Light. You know, that is a light, and it is producing light. Right? Well, in the Hebrew, there's a couple different words. You have light as in the source, and you have light as in what it produces. Interestingly enough, when you study the Bible, you'll find out that originally, God did not make the light source first. He made the light first. Then on day number 4, he made a source for the light. Why do you think he did that? I think he did that so that people would know, don't worship the source of the light. Understand, I made the light, then I made the source. How many cultures around the world have gotten into sun worship? Believe in the sun god and things like that. God knew people would have that tendency, so he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to make the light first, then I'm going to make the source for it. So yes, you can have days before the sun. That is possible. Yeah. And there's another thought here. I had to take a lot of these slides out. I'm trying to recap here real quick. I had another thought on that. What was it? Oh, well, I forgot my other thought. Some people try to say, well, you know, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 2, it talks about how the earth was without form and void. I had to skip all this. I'm sorry, and now I'm wanting to go back and do it real quick just because I got some questions about it last night. But it says the earth was without form and void, and people say, see, it was destroyed. God destroyed the world in between there. So God made it, and then there, verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and he destroyed it. No. The words without form and void simply mean unformed and unfilled. That's the literal, that's exactly what it means, unformed and unfilled. It doesn't necessarily mean destroyed. Now, it can mean destroyed. And the other place that phrase is mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah, it is talking about a world that was destroyed. But read in Jeremiah, you'll see the phrase unformed and unfilled. And it talks about how, and oh, by the way, some people that believe in the gap theory say, see, that's referring to Genesis when God destroyed the world. No. Read that passage. God is talking about how all the birds of heaven were fled. When did God make the birds? Which day? Anybody? 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 Yeah, God didn't make the birds until day 5, so Jeremiah mentions the birds when it uses the phrase unformed and unfilled. It cannot be talking about Genesis, between Genesis 1, 1 and 1, 2. Anyway, I wish I kept the slides in there, but we had to skip all that. Some problems with the gap theory. It was invented in 1814. It's not the historical position of the church. It also violates many scriptures. It also has death come in the world before Adam sinned, which violates more scriptures. And it has Satan fall before day 7, which violates even more scriptures. The gap theory does not fit with the rest of scriptures, okay? It doesn't fit with the rest of the Bible. Here's another one. This is from the Living Bible. It says, let the earth burst forth with every sort of grass and seed-bearing plant and the fruit trees. All this occurred on the third day. You read that and you think, all right, they got it right. They understood it was the third day. But there's a little asterisk there, and they say, literally, this is referring to a period of time. Oh, they got it wrong. There's another one out there that's trying to add evolution to the Bible, add the millions of years to the Bible, which is totally unnecessary. You don't have to have the millions of years, okay? But they do this by saying every day of creation wasn't really a day. Really, it was a long period of time. Now, they don't put an exact time on it, but, you know, according to evolution, you need millions of years. But they put a long period of time with each day. Instead of saying it was a regular 24-hour day, they say it was just, you know, who knows how long, eons of time. Well, there's some problems with the day-age theory. Check out the Fenton Bible, though, written in 1903. The Fenton Bible says, by periods, God created that which produced the solar system, then that which produced the earth. For day number one, it says, this was the close and the dawn of the first age. And then, for day two, this is the close and the dawn of the second age. I'm sorry, but that does not fit with the Bible. It doesn't go along. They even have verses that back them up. They'll say, well, Psalms 90 verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thyssight is but yesterday when it passed. And they'll use 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 8, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day. See, it's possible that those days were long periods of time. Problem. Number one, that says 1,000, not million or billion. Okay? Second problem. God made the grass, the plants, and the trees on the third day. The sun, which the plants need, wasn't made until the fourth day. You really think those days were thousands of years without the sun? Plants are going to have a hard time surviving, you know. And then the insects, which pollinate the plants, those weren't made until the sixth day. So how do you have these plants surviving for thousands, possibly millions of years, without pollination and without the sun? Creates a little bit of a dilemma there for you. No, they couldn't be long periods of time. They had to be regular days, just like the Bible says. Plus, when the Bible says evening and morning, day one, evening and morning, day two. Let me ask you something. could he have got any more clear than that? I mean, how do you say one day any more clearer than it was an evening and it was a morning and that was one day? How do you make that more clear? It's really obvious from Scripture. He's talking about normal days there. And I know my dad debated Hugh Ross, who has a ministry out here in California. My dad debated him. We got his debate available. The simple fact is, I'm sorry, some people have been deceived and coming from science to the Bible and saying, oh, well, we know the earth is millions of years old. How does that fit with the Bible? What does the Bible say? How does science fit with the Bible is the way we should be going. The Bible says the earth is only about 6,000 years old. Don't put an exact date on it, but about 6,000 years old. Now, let's go to science with that instead of vice versa, okay? God's Word can stand on its own just fine. He doesn't need our help trying to manipulate it to fit whatever the modern science is teaching, okay? All right, we're up to verse number 6 of Genesis. We're flying, aren't we? It says, and God said, let there be a firmament. Stop. What in the world is a firmament? What's a firmament? Well, let's read on. Maybe it's going to tell us here. It says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Some people say, oh, I know what the firmament is. It's the dirt. The dirt keeps the water from the water. Ah, yes. No, that is not the firmament, okay? Later on in verse number 20 of chapter 1, the Bible says, God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl, that's bird, not baseball or basketball, fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. The birds do not fly in the dirt. They fly in the air. So the firmament, also referred to as the first heaven, is the air, what you're breathing right now. This is a firmament, okay? Also referred to as the first heaven. You know there's more than one heaven talked about in the Bible. You got the atmosphere, what we're breathing right now. The second heaven, God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from night. The second heaven is outer space with the sun, moon, and stars, and some of you are at right now. Then there is a third heaven. You remember when the Apostle Paul got rocked to sleep, or stoned to death, outside the city of Lystra? And he got caught up to the third heaven? It was actually three heavens, atmosphere, outer space, and then where God lives, there are three heavens. Okay, verse number 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were, get this, under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. Water above the atmosphere? Is that even possible? You know, I believe the original creation had a layer of water surrounding the entire world. I know, sounds crazy, but I think it really did have that. Maybe that's what 2 Peter chapter 3 was talking about, how the earth was standing out of the water and in the water. It had a canopy of water surrounding the earth's atmosphere. Today, the atmosphere has 6 layers to it. I bet it used to have a 7th. You know, 7 in the Bible is the number of completion. I think it used to have a 7th layer. This layer of water that surrounded the atmosphere. I don't know how far up it would have been, 20 miles, I don't know. Right now, you can go straight up about 200 miles, and that's the edge of our atmosphere. Don't go up there, okay? It's real thin, hard to breathe, but it's up that high, okay? This layer of water would have condensed Earth's atmosphere down into a smaller space, and we would have more what's known as atmospheric pressure on our bodies. Interesting. You'd have... Sorry. I saw a friend of mine, one of our tech guys there at CSC, this has nothing to do with the seminar, but I'll just tell you this, because I'm thinking of it. He told me about this YouTube video that he saw of this guy that blew up a balloon. And it was a huge balloon, as big as like this guy's living room. And then he got inside of the balloon. And he's getting inside of it and trying to keep it, you know, with the air. But the air started leaking out. And once it got all the way leaked out, it's suctioned on his body. And he's enclosed in this balloon, this big old giant balloon. And the problem is, if you take something, you could put a kid, you know, and duct tape a trash, you know, put them inside a trash bag and put the trash bag right here and seal it and suck all the air out of it. If they were sitting Indian style, you could suck all the air out of a trash bag, put a little hole, put a vacuum cleaner, suck all the air out, and that kid cannot move. I mean, you cannot move. Because there is the atmospheric pressure that we have right now, 14.7 pounds per square inch. You have 14.7 pounds per square inch pushing in all over your body, and you literally cannot move. And so we did. Anyway, he told me this funny video about this guy getting stuck inside of a balloon. He set up a camera. There was nobody else there. He set up a camera to videotape himself doing this, and he said, you can just see the air going out, and the guy's like, oh, wait, hey, and all of a sudden, wow, close call. He did get out. He survived, by the way. I would look it up online and show you, but that's way, way, way off topic. I just started laughing because of that. Anyway, right now, all that to say, right now, we are under 14.7 pounds per square inch. I can just say that, man. Oh. 14.7 pounds per square inch of atmospheric pressure. If we had this canopy of water surrounding the atmosphere, it would have condensed that atmosphere into a smaller area, giving us more atmospheric pressure. That means every time you breathe, you would take in more oxygen. Interesting. I'll come back to that thought. Now, not only was there a layer of water over the atmosphere, there was also a layer of water underneath the crust of the earth. The Bible talks about how he stretched out the earth above the waters when he made it. He had founded it upon the seas and established it upon the floods. Remember how the Bible talks about in Genesis how the garden was watered, the whole face of the earth was watered by a mist that went up out of the ground? I think God made this world with a built-in sprinkler system. There was a layer of water underneath the crust that watered the whole face of the earth. That's what the Bible says. So the original creation was very, very different than what we see today. You say, well, Eric, what happened to all that water? Well, at the time of the flood, it came up and came down. Genesis chapter 7 tells us about the flood. It says, that same day, the day of the flood, all the fountains of the great deep broke up, and the windows of heaven were opened. So the water that was underneath the crust of the earth came shooting up out of the ground. The water that was above came pouring down, and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Not only that, when that canopy broke apart and it rained for 40 days and 40 nights and the atmosphere then lost atmospheric pressure, what happens if you take something that's under pressure and you relieve the pressure very quickly? It gets cold. Interesting. Any of you ever have those little bottles of air that you can spray and you spray the air and the bottle gets really cold? Yeah. When it loses pressure, it gets very cold. It loses heat, and it gets very, very cold. What would happen to the world if it lost all of that pressure? It would get very, very cold. And it would institute an ice age. It fits in with the Bible. The ice age fits perfectly in with God's word. There really was an ice age, okay? I think the fountains of the deep breaking up is why we have fault lines in the world today. These big old giant cracks. You guys know what fault lines are in California, right? Okay. These fault lines are all over the world. I've been to many of them. The Madrid Fault, the Hayward Fault, San Andreas Fault. None of them are my fault. But I've been there, seeing them have t-shirt, okay? I think this is really from where the fountains of the great deep broke up, just like the Bible told us was going to happen. That's what God said was going to happen. Now you guys know what a greenhouse is, right? Got all glass walls, you got to get dressed in the basement, greenhouse. Okay. The pre-flood world would have been like a giant greenhouse. You would have even temperatures all over the surface of the earth with this canopy of water. Now, it may have been a layer of ice, we don't know, but ice or water, it was up there above the earth. Super cold ice, by the way, takes on magnetic properties and can be suspended above a magnet, super, super, super cold ice. Interesting. Could have been real cold ice that was suspended by the magnetic field. I don't know. There's a new theory out that lack of oxygen is what killed the dinosaurs. So how's that possible? Well, here's what they say. They say an 80-foot-long apatosaurus had the same size nostrils as a modern-day horse. Well, not as the horse, but as his nostrils. Never mind. How is an 80-foot-long animal going to get wind sucking through nostrils the size of a horse's nostrils today? He wouldn't be able to breathe. But if he lived in an environment that had a lot more atmospheric pressure, he could breathe no problem, couldn't he? He would have no problem breathing. We find amber, which is petrified tree sap. Sometimes they find air bubbles trapped inside of this amber. When they examine the air bubbles, they find the air bubbles contain 50% more oxygen than what is in today's atmosphere. Today we got 20.9%, about 21% oxygen. This stuff has 35% oxygen. What if the pre-flood world had more atmospheric pressure and higher levels of oxygen in the atmosphere? Under those conditions, in case you didn't know, not every time you breathe, not only would your hemoglobin take on oxygen, your plasma would get oxygen saturated. You're like, what does that mean? That means you could literally run for hundreds of miles and you'd never get tired. Adam and Eve didn't need a car. They could run to grandma's. Except they didn't have a grandma. Or a mother-in-law. That's why they called it paradise. But, just kidding. My wife has a great mother-in-law. Oh, she is wonderful. Godly woman. Godly woman. The sun is sending down all kinds of x-rays down here to Earth. We got x-rays and gamma rays and beta rays. All these ray waves are coming down, and right now we are getting x-rayed by the sun. They're coming right through this building, right into your body, right down into the ground as we speak. Now, you guys know what an x-ray is, right? Been in the hospital, get an x-ray. Okay. Your skin is what has to battle the war against all the x-rays. And after a lot of years of losing the war against the x-rays, of fixing the holes that the x-rays are putting in our body, your skin starts to lose the war. And you start to get wrinkled up. All right, you say, I don't want to get old and wrinkled. Okay, well then die early. That's one choice. Second option is you could carry over you at all times a lead or a concrete umbrella. Never get exposed to x-rays by the sun. Or water. You know, a certain amount of water stops the x-rays. Interesting. Hey, the Bible tells us that the average age before the flood was 912. How did they do that? Double atmospheric pressure, increased levels of oxygen, water canopy filtering out the harmful rays of the sun. Yeah. I think people really lived different diets. I think people really lived to be over 900 years old. Some people say, oh, Eric, they didn't live to be that old. They counted every month as a year. See, to get the real age, you got to divide by 12. Okay, let's think about that. Enoch was 65 when he had Methuselah. A couple guys in the Bible, 65 when they had children. 65 divided by 12. They were 5 and a half when they became a daddy. Wow. No, I don't think so. Okay, no, they really did live to be over 900 years old. Not only did they live longer, they also grew bigger. This is my dad standing next to a life-size statue of Robert Wadlow, tallest man of last century. Robert Wadlow was 8 feet 11 and a quarter inches tall. Big boy. That's me standing next to a life-size statue of him at Ripley's Believe It or Not Museum in St. Augustine, Florida. Yes, those are white socks and sandals. Shut up. My dad could not even touch his chin standing on his tiptoes. Not on Robert's, on his own. Never mind. He couldn't touch his chin. This guy was huge, and he's not the biggest one ever found that ever lived. They found the skeleton of a coal mine in Italy of a guy 11 feet 6 inches tall. Well, long. He's not tall anymore. But 11 foot 6, how'd you like to have him on your basketball team? Throw the ball to Herman, okay. Wow, 11 feet 6. Some people say, Eric, how do you know this is a skeleton of a man? It's pretty simple. You've got to look at the process on the temporomandibular joint. The TMJ, that's where the jaw hooks onto the skull. See, that joint is worn out a whole lot more on the woman than it is on the man. Moving on. They found a skeleton 12 feet tall in Tucson, Arizona. 12-foot tall skeleton. Another one was reported in Humboldt Lake, Nevada. This skull was found in Nevada. A huge human skull that would dwarf yours and mine. Wow. They found a human thumb bone. Everybody's got three bones in their thumb. Make sure you got them. One right here at the top, one in the middle, one right down there. The middle one right there. They found a middle human thumb bone to a guy 3 and a half inches long. I think it's pretty safe to assume he had a big thumb. Yeah. He probably had a big hand. He probably had a big body. Wow, what was that guy like? 3.5 inches long. Man. Here is, you're not going to believe this, a human femur discovered in Egypt. Bone that goes from your hip to your knee. I've got two of them personally. Whoa! 47 inches long. This is a drawing of what the guy would have looked like. This guy, that's a 6-foot mark right there. I'm 6 feet tall. Here's that bone. Here's a drawing of the skeleton. So that right there would be his waist. His head would probably touch the ceiling in here. It's about 15 feet. If you ever met him, call him sir. And do whatever he says. Wow. Huge. Here's the human jawbone, 6.5 inches from TMJ to TMJ. Wow. The Bible says there were giants on the earth in those days. You know what I think? There were giants on the earth in those days. Yeah, I really believe there were giants on the earth. Now, the Bible says God made man in his own image. So how come textbooks are teaching the kids today that we evolved from monkeys? Doesn't exactly go along with what God said, does it? So what about the so-called cavemen? Have there ever been any missing links? I don't have time to go into all of them. I wish I did. I had to take a lot of these out, but let me give you a couple. Nebraska man. Did you know Nebraska man was scientifically built from one tooth? They found one tooth and built this whole structure of Nebraska man, and he was used in textbooks as evidence of evolution for 40 years until it was exposed. For 40 years, kids got taught that man evolved from apes because of a tooth. Later on, they found out that the tooth came from a pig. Wow. How many kids' faith in God's word was destroyed because of a lie? Wow. I wish we had time to go in. There's a lot of them. Piltdown man, Peking man, Nebraska man, Neanderthal man, Lucy, Australopithecus afarensis. There's a lot of these. All of them are hoaxes, frauds, or misidentifications. Everyone. Got a good book on the subject, The Bones of Contention, which goes into that. Hey, you guys ever hear about a prehistoric animal? You ever hear about one of those? You know there's no such thing as a prehistoric animal? Like, yeah, there are. No, the word prehistoric means prehistory. Yeah, old dictionaries don't even have the word prehistoric in there because there wasn't such a word. The word prehistoric is a brand new word just to help out the idea of evolution. See, we have history from the very beginning. Well, how's the first verse in the Bible go again? Somebody remind me. In the beginning. How do you go before that? You can't. We have history from the very beginning. There is no such thing as prehistory, prehistoric. There is no such thing as prehistoric. Wow. Now, not only were people living longer before the flood, animals were living longer and growing bigger before the flood. Let me show you a couple animals just to impress you, and then we'll take a break, okay? They found an 18-foot-tall hornless rhinoceros fossilized. With the pre-flood canopy of water and the increased oxygen levels and the increased atmospheric pressure, insects would get to be a little bit bigger. They found bugs that are huge fossilized bugs. Bugs breathe through their skin, so they can only get a certain size based on the atmospheric pressure. All right? Well, they're finding out that these critters underwater that have a whole lot of pressure on them and are able to get more oxygen into their system grow 1,000 times heavier than the animals up here at the surface of on land. Wow. So what would some animals look like? Here is a fossilized dragonfly. You say, big deal. It's got a 50-inch wingspan. How'd you like to hit that at 70 miles an hour? Wham! Man! Whoa! Take the bug deflector and the windshield right out, dude. Join you in the front seat. Do you guys have cockroaches here? Any cockroaches in California? Yeah? They find fossilized cockroaches 18 inches long. Ladies, what do you do when you find one of those in your kitchen? Back then, you didn't get out the bug spray. You got up the AK-47. Don't call the Orkin man. Call the National Guard with the bug infestation, okay? Serious problem. How about centipedes? 8 feet long, 8.5 feet long, fossilized have been discovered. Huge centipedes. Fossilized grasshoppers 2 feet long have been discovered. Big grasshoppers. Fossil tarantula. Huge fossilized tarantulas. Fossilized cattails over 60 feet tall. A fossilized donkey was discovered 9 feet tall. Fossilized giant sloths have been discovered. Huge giant sloths. Fossilized buffalo horns with a 12-foot span from tip to tip. Back then when the sign said, do not feed the animal from your vehicles, you did not feed the animals from your vehicles. Whoa. Hey, guys, something used to be different. They don't do that today. Giant elk with 12-foot antlers. Giant kangaroos over 10 feet tall have been discovered. Wombats the size of a mini. Huge rodents used to roam this earth. Giant birds, 13 feet tall. They found an elephant bird egg compared to an ostrich egg. If you've ever seen an ostrich egg, they're pretty good size. That's an elephant bird egg compared to an ostrich egg. Wow. Is right. Big birds. Fossilized beavers over 8 feet long have been discovered. There's a beaver's jaw. They say this beaver had to be 7 to 8 feet long. Look at that tooth on the front there. See, the thing is they had bigger trees, so they needed bigger beavers to chew them down. That's what's going on there. Fossilized salamanders today, 5.5 to 8 inches long. How about this one? Over 6 feet long. Increased air pressure, you get bigger fish also. This was found in Thailand, 646-pound catfish. Whoa. That's a big fish. How about sharks? Sharks got to be a little bit bigger before the flood. They say you can tell how big a shark is based on its teeth. If you have a shark's tooth that is 1 inch long, that shark was probably 12 to 15 feet long. Well, in that case, I wonder how big this one was. I happen to have a real, genuine replica of one of those shark's teeth right there from a megalodon, 80-plus feet long. How many of you saw the movie Jaws? Jaws, they used a 32-foot-long great white. Ooh. Jaws would have been bait for this one. They were huge before the flood. Pre-flood world had a stronger magnetic field. Dr. Bond in Glenrose, Texas, has been raising piranhas in an increased magnetic field, and they get 4 times bigger. Wow, huge piranha he's growing there, or raising. Fossilized turtles, big old turtles. You know they find oysters 11.5 feet wide? Now that would be a pearl, wouldn't it? Wow. You know where they find them? 2 miles above sea level. I don't know if you realize this or not, but clams don't climb very well. How did they get 2 miles above sea level? Either one big old wave or one big old flood that destroyed the entire world. Wow. Guys, the world used to be different. And God had to judge this world because of a flood. And today, if you go climbing on top of Mount Ararat or Mount Everest, you know what you'll see a whole lot of? Petrified clams. And guess what? They are in the closed position. If you ever go to the beach and you find a seashell, you only find one. You don't find both of them closed, do you? Unless it's still alive. Because when it dies, it opens up. They find petrified seashells and clams in the closed position all over the world. the flood, the judgment came incredibly quickly. God judged this world, and that flood came so fast. You can find fossilized clams in the closed position 4 feet thick in layers. I'm talking, you know, just stacked on top of each other. Wow. God judged this world. He judged it fast. And yes, it really was. There really was a worldwide flood. I mean, some people say, Noah's flood was just a local flood. No. God told Noah to build a boat and gave him 120 years to do it. If it was just a local flood, why didn't God say, hey, you got 120 years, move? No, it was a worldwide flood. God destroyed this world. Hey, what about the dinosaurs? Where do they fit into the pictures? I'd love to talk to you about that right now. We're going to take a short break, and then we're going to get into the dinosaurs. Where do the dinosaurs fit into the picture? What would some dinosaurs look like, or some lizards, modern-day lizards like this one right here, the Jackson chameleon? What would he look like if he lived in the pre-flood world and had the canopy of water surrounding him and the double atmospheric pressure and the increased oxygen? How big would he get? I wonder what this three-horned guy that you can buy at pet stores today would look like back in the Garden of Eden. I bet you'd have yourself a dinosaur, a terrible lizard. That's what the word dinosaur means. We'll talk more about that in exactly 10 minutes. Hang on, though. We have a couple announcements.